Oshkosh is quiet today, but Mentone is about to get noisy. Norman Surplus has an impressive first day back in the air. And the Learjet 85 will be built in Wichita. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 2nd, 2010. Last week, our focus was on AirVenture. And this week, you'll be hearing more than usual about personal helicopters, gyroplanes, trikes, and powered paragliders as I hit the road for the Popular Rotorcraft Association's annual convention in Mentone, Indiana. It's about a 300-mile drive from Oshkosh, and Aero TV's Nathan Cremasino is coming along with me to capture some sights you may not have seen before. I'll have any breaking news from this small, niched show, and our daily AeroCasts and Aero TV will feature some of the more interesting pilots and machines in the near future. Segwaying smoothly, Norman Surplus has resumed his attempt to become the first to pilot an autogyro around the world. After a ditching in a lake in Thailand, forced by underestimating the impact of density altitude, Norm sat through 2 weeks of repair, but 3 months of bureaucratic morass, while UK authorities mulled over whether to allow repairs to be made in Thailand. Norm logged an auspicious first day back in the saddle yesterday and demonstrated uncommon faith in the reliability of his machine. His 500 miles included 200 over the open waters of the South China Sea. He was in Malaysia last night and expected to arrive in the capital of Kuala Lumpur. Still ahead, 19,000 miles across the Pacific, then North America, and a now more treacherous autumn crossing of the North Sea back to his base in Northern Ireland. The aircraft is a German MT-03 gyroplane with a 914. Rotax owes this guy an endorsement deal if he makes it. One of the more active flyers at Oshkosh during the daily window for rotorcraft flights last week was Larry Neal of the Butterfly LLC, a gyroplane kit maker which just introduced a new legal ultralight gyro that uses either the Rotax 503 or a choice of two MZ two-strokes. We won't see Larry or his machines this week at the PRA convention in Mentone, however. He's the test pilot for the Carter Personal Air Vehicle prototype, and says Carter has called him back to Wichita Falls, Texas this week for what's expected to be the first testing of the new machine's rotor system starting Wednesday. Larry insisted at Oshkosh that he was on vacation, but did discuss a new border patrol effort being led by private citizens along Arizona's border with Mexico. Think neighborhood watch from the air. Larry says he's been asked to provide up to 30 butterfly auroras with Rotax power for that project. You can hear more in today's Aero News special feature. Economic development officials in Kansas are hailing the commitment last week by Bombardier to build the Learjet 85 in Wichita. The incentive package includes $27 million in bond financing from the state of Kansas, which will be invested in improvements to Learjet's Wichita facility in order to prepare for the eventual production of the 85. Modifications to the campus will include an all-new paint facility, customer delivery center, production flight test facility, and expanded production hangars for final assembly. The Learjet 85 is on schedule for entry into service in 2013. Up next on ANN, Sonex is working on a new turbocharged option. The Lindbergh Electric Aircraft Prizes are awarded. And Vans proposes a fast-build version of the RV-12. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD NexRad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Some closing notes on AirVenture. Sonex Aircraft LLC was showing a previously unannounced product at its booth in Oshkosh this year, a turbocharged version of the VW-based AeroV engine conversion, said to make in excess of 100 horsepower. Marketing Director Mark Schabel says the engine will provide a high-value option for Sonex builders
looking to step up from the normally aspirated Aero V's 80 horsepower. That niche is currently filled by the Jabiru 3300 flat 6, which makes 120 horsepower. The Aero V turbo falls 20 short of that on the ground, but at a density altitude of 8,000 feet will actually pull ahead of the Jabiru by 10 horses and will cost thousands less. The aero injector used on the base engine is relocated to the inlet of the turbo. Scheibel says boost is a conservative 4 to 5 pounds from the Garrett turbo, and the company expects the engine, built from racing parts used at outputs as high as 500 horsepower in cars, to retain its reliability in the new configuration. There was no firm date or price announced, and the company has some sorting out to do on packaging and cooling before the product will be available for sale. Another eye-catching display at AirVenture was a new fast-build option for the van's RV-12 experimental light sport aircraft. Because ELSA does not have the 51% amateur-built requirement that EAB does, the factory is free to do much more of the assembly. The RV-12 kit goes for about $62,000 with engine. The fast-build kit would come with much of the fuselage finished, which Van says would save the customer about 500 hours and would add about $14,000 to the price tag. The fast-build on display carried a sign which said it was there to gauge interest, so it's too soon to know if the project is really a go. But they did think enough of the idea to ship the thing to Wisconsin from Oregon. On Friday, Eric Lindberg announced the winners of the Lindberg Electric Aircraft Prizes, expected to grow into a prize philanthropy contest offering significant incentives for development. Best Electric Aircraft is awarded for the best example of a practical electric aircraft in any category, experimental, LSA, or certified. This year it went to Unique for accomplishments in the design and engineering of the E-430, an aircraft with significant commercial potential. Best Electric Aircraft Subsystem or Component Technology is defined as a set of components designed to work together to accomplish a specific task which advances the field of electric aircraft, or individual components that serve to advance the performance and practicality of electric aircraft. That prize was awarded to Sonnex for its innovative cooling system, motor controller, battery pack, and integrated safety systems. And the Individual Achievement Award went to Axel Lang for his leadership and vision in the development of the Antares 20E, the world's first certified production electric aircraft. Lindberg observed, quote, "We are witnessing the dawn of a new era in aviation technology. As pilots, we need to take the initiative to find sustainable alternatives for the future of aviation," unquote. Cobalt Aircraft of France, which chose AirVenture to debut the prototype of a four-place, single-engine Canard business aircraft that it calls the CO-50, followed that up with the announcement the company will create a U.S. corporation for development, certification, and production of the aircraft. David Lurie, founder and CEO, says the U.S. branch will be based in San Francisco. Quote, "While a final assembly site is still under negotiation, the American activities of the company will be directed from these U.S. headquarters. We felt that we needed a creative, stimulating environment and to get closer to our customer base," unquote. The U.S. branch will duplicate the French company's engineering, production and assembly, marketing and sales, and customer support functions for the American markets. Cobalt hopes to tackle its Part 23 certification program before the end of this year, and flight testing is expected to get underway at that time. Still ahead, the Red Bull Air Races will hibernate in 2011. Congress punts yet again on FAA reauthorization. And an auction suggests the economy may be on the way back. You're listening to Aero News.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Following the recent cancellation of the last two stops on this year's tour, the Red Bull Air Race Series now says it will cancel its entire 2011 season and regroup for 2012. The official statement says there's a need to revise the main organization and commercial areas to realize the full potential of the sport, including the development and reinforcement of strong host city partnerships, which would secure a long-term race calendar. Officials also say they want time to look at safety improvements to the aircraft. The U.S. House and Senate cleared a bill late Thursday extending authorization of the FAA for 2 more months. The extension includes language which would require that every commercial passenger airline pilot hold an ATP certificate, a de facto raising of the minimum qualification from 250 hours to 1,500 flight hours. It's not clear how this will affect recruiting by the airlines. The extension also requires the FAA to implement NTSB recommendations that pilots are trained on stall and upset recovery, and that airlines offer remedial training to pilots if necessary. The extension runs through September 30th, but observers now say a long-term FAA reauthorization isn't likely till next year. And finally, I suggested a few days ago that the size of the winning bid for that one-of-a-kind Ford Mustang, auctioned at Oshkosh to benefit Young Eagles, might be an economic indicator of sorts. The first one in 2008, before this big crunch hit, brought $500,000. Last year, during the peak of the recession, it was won for only half that amount. If it really is an economic indicator, then we're exactly halfway back with the economy. The SR71-themed Mustang, auctioned this year, raised $375,000. It's a two-seat variant with a roll cage, racing seats, embroidered signatures of Jack Roush and Carroll Shelby, and special instrument cluster graphics. Now, you may think that's an absurd amount of money to pay for a Mustang, but history suggests the owner might have made a good investment. Vintage muscle cars frequently bring $1 million today at specialty auctions, and there's nothing rarer than a car supplied directly by a manufacturer, which is one of a kind. I can hear it now. Honest, honey, it's an investment. That's the latest from Aero News. This is Rotorcraft Week on the ANN Special Feature. Today, I'll talk with Larry Neal of the Butterfly LLC about his new ultralight gyroplane and a citizen initiative in Arizona that will use gyroplanes to assist Border Patrol. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.